Well, please take your Bibles this morning and go to the book of Romans chapter 3. Today's Sunday, September the 8th, 2024. This morning, we're going to start in Romans 3. And as born-again ones, you know that we have many blessings because of the new birth, with rights, privileges, and abilities that God has just freely given us. Because of the completed work of Jesus Christ. And this morning, something that we are aware of, but we're going to take a closer look this morning at righteousness. I taught a condensed version of this teaching this past Wednesday at the retirement center, and after it was over with, a gentleman came up to make a comment. I'll share that with you in just a little while. But we're going to start here in Romans 3, verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. In the King James, most of the time when you see the words just or justify, or justification, righteous, righteousness, most of the time they all come from the same Greek word. And so if we understand the basic meaning of that word, whether it's the noun, the verb, the adjective, if we gain an understanding of that word, then when we say righteous or righteousness, it won't be just a nice spiritually sounding word. Yes, God said I'm righteous. It feels so good to say that I'm righteous. What does that mean? I don't know, but it feels good to say that I'm righteous. It basically means, and so the section we just read, you know, verse 20, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified. That comes from the same word. In verse 22, righteousness. In verse 24, justified. It basically, the Greek word basically means justice. J-U-S-T-I-C-E. Justice or justness. It means being right according to a legal or established standard. People go to court, right, to get justice, to get something made right according to, you know, the legal standard of that particular court. And the root word carries the meaning of being innocent, faultless, or guiltless. Now, you know, and I know, for lots and lots of people today in our culture, being right or just or innocent or guiltless or faultless is according to their own standard of justice, right? Their own personal standard. We're coming back here, but go to Proverbs chapter 12, right after the book of Psalms. Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs 12, verse 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. What kind of counsel do you think that would be? God's counsel. Isn't that interesting? The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. There are a lot of people that are right in their own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Also look at Proverbs 28. This one is a bit contrary to maybe something you've heard. Then you have to decide who you want to believe. Proverbs 28, verse 26. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. But whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. How do you walk wisely? We just read it in the verse before, God's counsel. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, yet we hear, follow your heart. Well, what does your heart say about that? Don't trust your heart. Trust God's counsel. In Isaiah 5, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, chapter 5. This is kind of like in Isaiah chapter 5. It's kind of like could be the headlines for today. Verse 20. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. So God's word's pretty clear, right? We're headed back to Romans. We're going to stop in Romans 1 on the way, though. Then we'll go back to Romans 3. Romans 1. And we have free will. We can be think what we want to think. We can think I'm right in what I do. I'm right in what I decide. I'm right in what I think. Yeah, God gave everyone free will. We'll never touch your free will. Ever. It's one of the things that God gave us. But then he gave us some counsel saying, you know, not a good idea to trust your own heart. You ought to trust my counsel. In Romans 1, verse 20, for the invisible things of him, God, from the creation of the world, are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they're without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, their reasonings, and their foolish heart was darkened. So it's foolish to trust your own heart. It's wise to trust God's counsel. So back to Romans chapter 3. Righteousness, again, basically means justice, being right or just according to a legal or established standard. And talking here in the scriptures in Romans 3, we're talking about God's standard of justice, God's justification. It's according to God's standard of what is right. And there's no higher standard. You know, in the United States, the highest you can go is the Supreme Court. But God's standard of justice, there is nothing higher than that. Just as a note, when this Greek word is used as a verb, it can be understood as to make right, to justify by a judicial act, a judicial decision to free a person from guilt. So in a court of law, it would be like the court's decision, you're not guilty. What's the verdict? Not guilty. You've been justified. You've been made right. As a noun, it's like the state of being right, righteous, justified. And again, it was by God's act of judicial deliverance, if you will, God's judicial act. So, let's back up a little bit here in Romans 3 and read a little bit of basically mankind's condition because we certainly needed God's righteousness. In Romans 3, verse 9, it says, "What then? Are we better than they?" Meaning, are we as Jews better than the Gentiles? No, in no wise. For we have before proved both Jew and Gentiles, they're all under sin. As it's written, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Verse 19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it says to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God or be subject to God's judgment. Therefore, and this is where we started a few minutes ago, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, made righteous. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. Some of the things I'll share this morning is some learning that I gained from sitting through the class Biblical Insights into Faith. Verse 22, look how righteousness for us, look how we got it. This righteousness that we have is through or by way of faith or believing pertaining to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ believed God completely. He always did the will of the Father. He laid down his life for us. And now look how easy for us to get God's righteousness, to be justified, to be made right in the sight of God by believing. That's all God said to do. Believe. Right? John 3:16, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. We'll see that in Romans 10 in just a few minutes. But God's righteousness, as we see in this verse 22, unto all and upon all them that believe. It's available to anyone and everyone. That's some good news, isn't it? There's a lot of bad news out there, but this is some good news. Look at chapter 10. We're familiar, I think, with verse 9 and 10 of Romans, but let's start in verse 1. We'll get a little bit of the context here. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. It's kind of like us. We would like people in this country to get saved, wouldn't we? Sure, people in this state to get, people in our neighborhood to get saved. Our hearts, that was Paul's desire, for his countrymen to get saved. For I bear them record, verse 2, that they have a zeal of God, they're very zealous, but not according to knowledge. Well, they must have had some knowledge, right? So obviously it's not the right knowledge. For I bear them record, they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that does what? Believes. It's amazing how many times believing and righteousness come up together. Moses described the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. Yeah, try that. See if you can carry out the law perfectly. No one could. And look at verse 6. It says, but the righteousness which is of believing, or by believing, speaks on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? It what? The righteousness which is of faith speaks on this wise, verse 6 said. But what does it say? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of believing which we preach. The word pertaining to that which has been given to be the right way of believing which we preach, or the word pertaining to that which has been given as the foundation of or for the right way of believing which we preach. This is just magnificent. The word that pertains to the right way of believing, or the word that has been given to be the right way of believing. And what is that? What could it possibly be? What is the right way of believing which we preach? Verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Hallelujah. Oh my goodness, how easy God made it for us. Do you see the context of the righteousness of God, which comes by believing? And back in verse 6, it says, but the righteousness which is by believing speaks on this wise. And then you go down there, this is what it says. What does it say in verse 8? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is, the word pertaining to that which has been given to be the right way of believing. And then he tells you what it is. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Confess, acknowledge, accept, recognize that of all people that have ever lived, whether they're princes, kings, knights, doesn't matter. Lord of all people that have ever lived is the Lord Jesus Christ. And God raised him from the dead. And guess what? Verse 10, for with the heart man believes unto what? Righteousness. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believes on him shall not be ashamed. For there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. The same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, how shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? Well, how shall they preach except they be sent, as it's written? How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things, which is kind of the total opposite of the newscast. Not very glad tidings, not very good things. But they've not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who's believed our report? So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The right way of believing comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This is good news. This is the glad tidings of good news. This is the gospel of God concerning his son, Jesus Christ, and it's good news. So much on the news, when you watch the news, it doesn't take very long for you to be discouraged, disappointed, angry. Open the book and you'll get blessed. God's word will definitely encourage you and me both. Back to Romans 3. Gee, how many times is he going to read the verse? A bunch. Romans 3, 21 again. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by or through or by way of faith or believing pertaining to Jesus Christ. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation, that full payment, through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him who believes in Jesus. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him who has believing pertaining to Jesus. Because of the completed work of Jesus Christ, because of his believing and trusting God, we who now choose to believe in Jesus Christ, we are now made righteous before God. You are right in my sight. Verse 27, where's boasting then? Who's going to walk around and go, I'm righteous before God? There's no, you can't boast. It's not something you earned. Where is boasting? It's excluded. By what? Law of works? No, but by the law of believing. Therefore, we conclude a man is justified by believing without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it's one God who shall justify the circumcision by believing, that's Jews, and uncircumcision through believing. Well, do we then make void the law through believing? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. We know we don't deserve it, right? But one of the great blessings from God to us is that in God's eyes, we are right. So, would that mean we're no longer guilty in the sight of God? Well, what's Romans 8 say? I don't want to trust in my own heart. I'd be a fool. Romans 8, 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. The rest of that verse is not in the critical text. There is therefore now no condemnation. That means guilty verdict. There's no longer any guilty verdict on us from God. We've been made right in his sight. We're right in his sight. After I was done teaching this past Wednesday and everybody was out of the room and I was just gathering my stuff up together, Cliff came walking back in. And Cliff is 103 years old. And he said, hey, Mike, he said, that teaching, he said, it reminded me of a verse that I've been working to keep in my mind and remember. It's 103. And then he quoted it verbatim. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And I went, that's awesome, Cliff. I said, that's Romans 5:1. I said, I'm going to be teaching this stuff Sunday. I'm going to include that verse. So back up, look at Romans 5:1. He's 103. He's still working God's word in his mind to memorize scripture. And what a verse for him to bring up after what I taught. Therefore, being justified by faith, made righteous by believing, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that something? No longer any guilty verdict for us. We've been made right in his sight. No more separation, no enmity, no more guilty verdict in the sight of God. He sees us as right in his eyes. That, maybe that's why it says in Romans 8, nothing can separate us from the love of God. There's more, Ephesians 1. Righteous. It's almost overwhelming to think that we could be righteous in God's eyes. In Ephesians 1:4, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him. In love starts the next verse. We are holy and without blame before him. Oh my goodness. There's more. Colossians 1. Colossians 1, look at this verse. Verse 21 tells us we've been reconciled, and then verse 22, in the body of his flesh through death, to present you and me, we are presented before God, holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight. You and me. That's how God sees us. Holy and without blame, unreprovable in his sight, lovely, accepted. God must smile when he sees us. Oh, how could he? Romans 3 again. Yep, he's going to read it again. Romans 3:20. This is just so exciting to look at this and to just get a little deeper appreciation of what God has made us righteous in his sight. Romans 3:22. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. You know, we hear so much in our culture about equity and injustice, and there's such a great lack of a knowledge of God's word in our culture today. Look at this. This is God's righteousness available to anyone and anyone who believes. Anyone and everyone. Whoever. And this is just such a marvelous section of Scripture. When we believed, God made us righteous at that moment. And in his eyes, we are right according to his legal standard. And there's no appealing it from anywhere, period. Now, one more point before we wind this up. Is it possible for someone who is born again and righteous before God, is it possible for that person to ever fall short and maybe do something that would be unrighteous? Is it possible? Well, of course it is. We all know it is. So, 1 John 1. First John 1, verse 8. If we say we have no sin, that might fall into the category of every man's right in his own eyes, wouldn't it? I don't sin. You know, I do what I feel is right in my heart. I can decide what's right. Sure you can. Doesn't mean it's right according to God's standard. But if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all what? Unrighteousness. Sure. Something that is contrary to God's will is an unrighteous act. If we confess it, if we go to God and go, I sure screwed up, I'm sorry. He's faithful and just as our Father to forgive us, wipe it away, and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we've not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he's the propitiation, payment for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So there's forgiveness available when we screw up. And that is so important because sin consciousness, condemnation, unworthiness robs us of our righteousness. It robs us. And in chapter 3, verse 20, it says, if our heart, condemn us. There's plenty of other people who would condemn us. And this word condemn means point the finger, accuse. That's what it means. If our heart condemns us, God's greater than our heart. God knows all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. That's why I said guilt, shame, condemnation, unworthiness, all that stuff. It just robs us of our confidence towards God. It just pushes aside the righteousness that we have in the sight of God, but knowing and accepting and believing that in God's sight, we're right, period. And that when we fall short, He will forgive us. That gives us confidence to go to God in prayer, expecting to receive His blessings. If we're in condemnation, we won't have the confidence to go to Him. You know, it's like when you're a little kid, if you broke the window, would you go ask your parents for favors? Could I have an allowance? No, you want to hide, right? God didn't want us hiding. He made us righteous. We screwed up. Okay, tell Him. I screwed up. I'm sorry. I'm going to do better next time. Okay. Wipe it away. Go to Romans 5. Get ready to wrap this up. We have to always remember how we got the righteousness that we have. We didn't earn it, right? It wasn't by doing enough good works that we got righteous. It wasn't by not sinning so much. It was by believing in Jesus Christ. What God said to do. Believing. And if God made us righteous, then we are righteous. And we stay righteous. Which in God's eyes is not guilty. You know, God's the one that said we're holy, we're lovely, we're all those things we read. Unblameable, unimpeachable in His sight. No more guilty verdict. Did any of those verses that we looked at where it said that there's no condemnation, that we're holy, we're acceptable, we're unblameable, did any of those verses say that those things are true only if we never sin? No, they didn't say that at all. And so, this is something that many times religions don't want to teach. It's something that many times it's hard for us to accept because we know our own selves. We know our own weaknesses. And of course, there are people who say that you can't talk about this because that gives people a license to sin. No, it doesn't. We have free will before we were born again, after we were born again. So we don't need a license to sin. God's given us free will. We're righteous in His eyes, so we ought to live that way. What did we just read in 1 John? These things write I unto you, that you sin not. You know, it just talked about if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. These things write I unto you, not that you sin not. But if you do, we got an advocate with God, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. So, in Romans, I really want to read some verses in chapter 6, but we're going to get a running start in Romans 5. If we had more time, we'd read all of Romans 5. If we had a lot of time, we'd read all of Romans. What a magnificent work the book of Romans is. Inexhaustible. So, verse 17, Romans 5. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, that's Adam, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness, of course it's a gift, we didn't earn it, shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. God made us righteous because of what Jesus Christ did, and we chose to say, okay, I believe it. Boom. You're righteous in my sight. You are now a child of God. You have eternal life. You've been saved. You have the gift of Holy Spirit. You will be in the gathering together. Here, the whole thing. Whew. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for what you did. Okay, moreover, verse 20. The law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Jump over to verse 12. Let not therefore sin reign in your mortal bodies, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. It's talking about living our righteousness. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but you're under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. It's not what he's talking about. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. You got choice, you got free will, do what you want. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. Or in holiness. Holiness is sanctification. I really believe that when you understand righteousness and really see it and put that together with an understanding of sanctification, it's a new day in your walk with God. Sanctification, I taught this back in March. It's on the website. It's called For a Purpose, I think it's the title of the teaching. If you missed that. Sanctification means set apart for a purpose. When you understand that, along with the righteousness that you have, it's like a new day with your walk with God. What a wonderful God we have. So we ought to do our best to walk according to God's counsel that we read in the scriptures, especially those addressed to us. God said that you and I are righteous in his sight. We're right. There's no guilty verdict. We are judged by his high standard of justice. There is no other. And the verdict for you and me is not guilty, but right in his sight. And so, what a blessing that is, and perhaps we could, and maybe we should, tell God, thank you for that righteousness. Father, thank you for the righteousness that we have, the sanctification and all the other great blessings of being a born-again child of you. Thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ, who completely believed you, carried out your will and plan for salvation, so that we could simply believe and then receive it all. And thank you, Father, for the joy that we have to continue to learn about all of our rights and privileges that are recorded in your word, so that we could continue to live a blessed and joyful life, knowing who we are and what we have to look forward to. Thank you for the privilege of sharing a little bit of your word this morning, and Father, for a wonderful week for everyone here in this room and on the hookup and anyone that listens to this recording later. Thank you for your great love for us. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.